This is Meet the Movie Press. It's March the 22nd, 2019 on the show this week. Disney Fox Up, Guardian Guns of the Galaxy, Masters of the Hooniverse, plus We Talk Us. Us talk we talk us, and the box office. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
This is Meet the Movie Press. It is March the 22nd, 2019. Welcome to the show. If you watched us before, welcome back. If you haven't, hello. It's lovely to have you here. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter. And with me this week, we have a special guest panelist. We'll get to her in just a second. Dimitri's back. Dimitri, who are you? Where can we find you, please?
You can find me right here on Popcorn Talk Network's Meet the Movie Press. Also, Anatomy of a Movie, which we won't be on today because really not a whole heck of a lot opened up last week, really. But we will be back for Us. And you can support me on the Twitters at DMovies1701.
Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. This is great.
Now, you're obviously sitting in for Scott this week, who's not here. He's going to be back in a couple weeks.
I look just like him.
You do, actually,
sorry.
We very rarely see you in the room together as well. So I'm not saying you are the same person, but I'm just saying. Welcome to the show.
For those people
who don't know who you are, where can we find you and who are you?
I am the studio coordinator at Collider, so you can find me on various Collider content. I also run a YouTube channel called The Movie Couple. Talk about movies, talk about trailers, talk about more movies and trailers and TV shows.
Fantastic. Awesome. Great to have you on here. We're very much about getting a lot of other people on here. So it's really great to have new people joining the team. So thank you. Okay, we've got a lot to get through. First of all, of course, if you want to take part in the show, you are a major part of this. Without you guys, of course, we wouldn't be here at all.
Nope.
So we appreciate it. If you want to do chat and you're watching this live, go to the chat on the YouTube channel and we will read out comments as we go through the show. Okay, first of all, we're going to get to Us later on. And no spoilers in the review, by the way. Worry about that. It is hard. It's very hard.
We can do it.
But we'll do it. Okay, let's talk about probably the thing that's dominated the landscape this week, the Disney Fox acquisition that got completed this week. Oft delayed, like Brexit in my home nation. It is now. It is done. It is dusted. Things are happening. People are going. Things are changing. What are the big takeaways from the deal for you guys this week? First of all, Wendy, tell me about it.
I mean, I actually read one thing this morning, and I don't know if you guys caught that. Fox 2000 will be shut down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't make the cut, which concerns me a little bit, because I was all for this Fox and Disney merger for me, like, as a comic book fan. I was like, Marvel can finally get X-Men? Are we doing that? Is it for real? Great. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I look at the Fox 2000 thing, and they make movies, like, that I really loved, like Hidden Figures, Love, Simon, The Hate U Give, Fault in Our Stars, and I think, what could this mean also for Fox Searchlight down the line?
Yeah.
And I want to, and I don't know if Disney doesn't think that these movies are on brand with them. I think they are. Mm. I think these movies are important. So I hope that in shutting that department down doesn't mean that we won't get meaningful movies like those.
It was also a department that a lot of people thought was going to be completely safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people thought when this deal went over that Disney would actually go great because if we can do some stuff that is slightly, you know, left of center and a bit different and, you know, a bit more daring and that lower to middle budget area that isn't all superhero movies,
right.
You know, which they tend to go, it's not going to make a billion. We got something else we can put out. That was going to be safe. But obviously, Fox Searchlight is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, I mean, obviously, a lot of people expected Fox 2000 to stay around, but could we see what they were putting out kind of going under the Searchlight label now? I mean, is that an option? Is that, do you think that's why they made the decision?
I mean, that's probable that maybe they want to condense it into under one department instead of having two similar labels, right? But I'm just thinking about it, and I know Searchlight puts out a lot of movies already, and there was a specific reason why 2000 existed. So I hope that in this case, it's just, I'm also thinking about people who lost their jobs. You know, that's always the worst. So like, oh, we're going to be safe. It's going to be great. Just kidding. You're not.
And it happens in pretty much everything when you have this kind of acquisition. And the companies are so huge. I mean, their industry footprints individually and now together are just so massive, which is actually a concern for a lot of people about this market domination and obviously losing the Fox as we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a change, but these things happen.
No, not like this. They don't. This is actually historical. We've talked about this.
It is a very unique thing.
Yeah, it hasn't happened in this business like this.
No.
And we've had this as part of our discussion on the show since almost for a year when it was first announced. So, look, I'm not going to go – I mean, my thoughts on this, I'll echo it again. I was really not on board with it, period.
Yeah.
Because, A, we are losing a major studio. Mm. Like, they were in the top seven, and they have history. And we're losing that. And yep. with that, we are losing diversity and variety. I'll get to the jobs in a second, but we are losing the diversity and variety. They're keeping the Fox Searchlight label because it's not – too much different than when Disney owned Miramax.
Yeah.
So this is their prestige label. Disney in its current form does not know how to release, and they haven't had a prestige movie in a long while, right? So they don't know how to release movies like Hate U Give. They've tried desperately, but they don't know how to do it.
They used to do it, though. We discussed this on the show in the 80s and 90s, where they had like Hollywood studios and whatever.
And Touchstone.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Touchstone and Hollywood were the big ones, and they would release movies like, you know, people forget that Pretty Woman was rated R. Mm-hmm. Outrageous Fortune was rated R. Down and Out in Beverly Hills was, you know, rated R. And they would release those, but then they just switched. They changed. Mm. And look, I get where somebody could argue. I'm not a lawyer, but I get where somebody could argue it's not a monopoly because there are still studios available, right? Mm. There's still studios out there. But it is a monopoly on the market share because now the market share that Disney has, it just puts them into another level. Like, you have to say Disney, and then the number one studio is going to be Universal, Paramount, you know, Warner Brothers. Yeah. It's not fair in that regards. And again, we're still going to lose. Like, we talked about this just a few weeks ago. Disney would have never released a Bohemian Rhapsody kind of movie. So, because they just don't know how. And a lot of that's going to go away, with the exception of Fox Searchlight.
So bearing that in mind, I mean, obviously, you know, Disney are launching Disney Plus.
Sure.
In the future. They haven't got a firm launch date for that, but in the next couple of years. I mean, is that really where we're going to see some of these movies that, if that's their own Netflix, the Love Simons of the world and stuff like that, and The Fault in Our Stars and all those kind of movies, where they still want to release them, they can give them limited theatrical and then make it more available on a that kind of platform? Because the industry has massively changed since we kind of saw any acquisition of this degree at this level in the industry, and even sort of going back to the Disney of the 90s, completely different landscape. So they have lots of different tools available. Wendy?
Yeah, there is a lot of different formats you can show these movies, but I think my takeaway is, and I love being able to sit at home and pop on Netflix or Hulu and like not change out of my sweatpants to go just to watch a movie. But I think it's important to get people to the theater to watch movies like The Hate U Give and to watch movies like Love, Simon, and Hidden Figure. It's so important. And I think movies like those with titles like those that are a little bit more heavier, a little bit more historical, and a little bit more political is not like living room, in my opinion anyways. I can't speak for everybody out there. It's like, it's not, to me, living room entertainment.
Yeah.
That's not something I want to sit home when I'm relaxing on a Sunday night and I want to like weep into my pillow. I mean, am I admitting that I'm openly like weeping in the theater when I watch these movies? But I like being able to sit in the theater and experience that versus being at home.
It helps. It does improve that sort of personal emotional connection with films, I think, sometimes seeing it in that environment.
And the movies that you mentioned, like Fault in Our Stars, did really, really well.
So did Hidden Figures.
Yeah,
Love, Simon was a good deal as well.
And, you know, I know Hate U Give what didn't tip the scales a ton, but it did okay.
Mm-hmm. It was also a great movie.
Yeah, it really was. It really is. That's what, you know, I've always been saying. Like, this is going to, we're going to lose a lot of this variety with what product is going out there. Mm. I mean, somebody here said, Goldman Vision said, say goodbye to indie and low-budget films. And, well, it's a start. I mean, it's not going to happen immediately, but these middle films are sadly going away, and yet these middle films help propel box office. They help propel and they give variety.
They are going away from obviously what Fox was and what Disney is now. But does this mean that it actually, for smaller bodies that are releasing distributors and studios and production houses, it actually plays in their favor because they're now not competing for these things, for these projects, against the big boys who've got all the money and the distribution systems and etc. So it actually kind of goes, okay, well, let's take the indie movies back to the true indies.
And then
the money goes into their pockets and not the pocket of, damn, you're Big Fox.
Do you know what I mean? I do.
A blessing and a curse.
But again, when you have such market share, those smaller indies, it makes it that much harder when you're fighting for screens. Yeah. Okay, and this is just my distribution. When you're fighting for screens, not just for your movie, but for trailers, okay, this makes everything that much more difficult for the indie studio to try to thrive in this world when you're taking things away. And they can't lose sight of the fact, like, every time you make a movie, it's a risk, okay? Yeah. So you potentially are leaving some semblance of box office dollars on the table because you don't exactly know what's going to hit. But when it hits, it elevates said studio.
Yeah.
And it's a really – that's great for our business. You know, the other thing too is like when we're talking about jobs loss, I mean, I – have friends and colleagues that I've known since I've moved before I moved to Los Angeles. And that's the really sad thing about this. They're naming names, and I get it that they're executives and whatnot, but some of these executives, I know people just don't know who these people are. This is a tough thing. When you lose a job, I don't care who you are, it's still tough, whether you have a titanium parachute or whatever it is.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But also, I mean, some of these people will have known for a little while that they will be going.
I hope so.
And also, if people didn't know that you were coming back on the market, yes, it's not great to put their names out there. But also, everybody in all these other studios now knows that these people, who some of them are the best in the business, are available to join their team.
But
so it's like LinkedIn Live.
Kind of. But you have to think about this, though. We've just gotten smaller. Like, those other studios, like Paramount and Jim Giannopoulos, like, they have their people in place. Sony has their people in place. Warner Brothers, a spot just opened. I'm just saying.
That's one way of putting it.
You know, so a lot of these places have these. It's a small industry.
Yeah.
Especially distribution. It's a small industry. So it's going to be hard for the lower echelon of people, the backbone of all of this. When you're talking, if you're going by the reports, it's anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000, somebody at 10,000. It's a lot of people who are going to be displaced. Wow. Not everybody's getting the same compensatory packages either.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, going back to my point on with regards to these, you know, people in the industry knowing that these people are now available, if I was an Amazon Studios or a Netflix, I would certainly take the head of Fox 2000 because she clearly knows what she's doing.
She's been doing it for a long time.
Has been doing it for a long time and has this talent of this, what a difficult market, picking projects that do land. So if I was Amazon, she'd be in my office today and she'd have a job by Monday.
You said something that I've been thinking about. Too, you mentioned Netflix. Well, now's the time for Netflix to do good. Now is the time that Netflix...
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly. But they could right now, open up their theatrical distribution studio. They don't have to worry about these stupid politics that are going on. And they have a distribution department of seasoned players who know the game on how to sell film to theaters and how to get the in-theater marketing material up, make these deals with all these theater chains. They can do it. And I argue, and I've said it before, it's needed. There's this act of attrition that's happening in our business right now. It's a perfect time for Netflix to rise up.
It is.
Because we could use them. They could give the diversity. They could give the variety, right? And they could make it, I mean, they could make quality movies that go into a theater and they have the people to do it.
Yeah.
And boom, done. We have a new studio in the marketplace that can continue to stream and now they can play in the big boys' sandbox, and We could do it, and we have another studio.
As long as they don't cross the streams, that's the most important thing, as we all know, right? Thank you so much. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Zeno Aaron in the chat saying, this is going to happen again. The film industry is in the middle of evolving. Content is king. Yeah, I think we're going to see... I predict in the next 18 months, we're going to see at least one other studio be swallowed up by another one.
And
I
don't.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if we look at a Sony Paramount partnership.
You know, Universal will, because weren't they like the counterbid for Fox?
They were, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So I mean, I think maybe they're looking for...
Yeah, I'm thinking
to acquire
more.
Somebody.
Universal perhaps take on Paramount? Because I think... I don't think Universal would buy Sony. And this is all conjecture. But I could see them, they bought Paramount. Because also, if you look at IPs that they have, mm-hmm. when it comes to other divisions like theme parks and television, yeah. and stuff like that, a lot of properties in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote
mm-hmm.
a piece on Forbes about 2 years ago now. And I'm going to repost it on Twitter today. So if you follow Please. Me at ShowbizSimon, you'll see it. And I'll pin it to the top of my Twitter. Basically, of all the franchises that now, as part of this deal, Disney own and can either remake, reboot, revive, do whatever they want, do TV shows. It, you know, I think but that's the option.
I'm thinking, and again, it's all conjecture from my dopey knowledge.
Although whenever we do conjecture on the show, it does tend to happen.
It has.
So I'm just saying it is conjecture.
I am still saying it's conjecture. Yeah. But Apple now, you know, they're about to launch their streaming service. Look, they need content. So they're in the market where they can buy somebody like Lionsgate. About a year ago, there was some smoke that Amazon could potentially purchase Lionsgate. Again, with my history of Lionsgate, I know that the powers that be over there are always willing to have somebody kick the tires.
Yeah.
Will we have another Paramount, Warner Brothers, or Universal buying Paramount, or Paramount buying Sony? I'm not so sure about that right now. I mean, I do agree that within the next 18 months, we're going to see some semblance of a conglomeration. We're going to see somebody blob into something else. And whether that's Apple Lionsgate or Amazon Lionsgate, there is a change a coming.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I feel like eventually all the studios are going to join and form Voltron. Right. Just one studio.
Yeah. talking of Voltron, yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. It's like, what are you, Sony?
I'm the foot.
What are you, Paramount? Yeah. I'm the left testicle.
I'm the middle finger.
Zeno Hour saying, I don't think people should be too upset about Fox 2000 closing. However, people should be pissed if a studio like Universal, Warner Brothers, or even an upstart like Apple don't hire this team. No, I mean, exactly as he said, I think this right now, I think there's going to be effectively bidding wars over some of these staff. But that will be to the benefit of these other studios.
And if I may,
very quickly,
Well, there was another acquisition that's pretty much become finalized, but the dust is yet to settle, and that's AT&T Warner Brothers.
Yes.
Okay, so this Fox thing is a big deal. It's, as I said at the top of the show, it's historic. We haven't seen this happen at this size. It's sad for me because of what Fox has delivered throughout its history of movies. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that takes everybody by shock in a sense, but it's like, remember when Twinkies... They said they were taking them off the shelf, and everyone was like, oh my God, Twinkies are going? Yeah. It's like, and when was the last time you had a freaking Twinkie, right? Well, this is a pretty big Twinkie, 20th Century Fox.
I think that's pretty much how they labeled it in the deal. It's like, how would you describe the merger? This is like a massive fucking Twinkie.
Pretty big Twinkie here, and I think that we are going to end up missing things. And I think for Disney, I think the dust is going to be settling there for a while. I don't think the layoffs are over.
Mm.
You know, Fox was working on a slate of movies already throughout the summer. So, like Dark Phoenix.
Mm.
The Disney people can't handle that right now.
We're going to see a couple of those projects kind of
go.
Some will go, some will go off the schedule. And stuff that's already been made, I think we're going to see some of them treated more fairly than others.
Hope so,
in this space. And I think, you know, there'll be some losers and there'll be some winners. And there'll be a lot of these projects that might have got a kind of a quiet release by major studios that will end up on like a Disney Plus and stuff like that. So we'll see. We're going to move on from this in a second. But Goldman Vision saying, if I work my way up to be an executive and this happened, it would kind of suck. Yeah, I mean, mean, I have friends who are affected by this, but they've also been at these companies before and they've lost their jobs and they've gone away for a couple of months and then they've been hired back and they've given a new label and stuff like that. And so that happens in the industry all the time. Also, Mark Ballum in the chat saying, you can bet your ass that if Comcast bought Fox, they would have sacked people too. Yeah. I mean, the inevitable downside of this is when anything like this happens, even if it's not at this scale, people move, people change, people get fired, people get rehired, people get moved around.
It's not unexpected, but it's still sad.
And also, let's not forget.
A little shocking to me.
Yeah, but also some people didn't want to move to the new company.
No.
So some of these people, some of it is shedding and some of it is people just going, do you know what? I don't want to go and work over there.
Right. And the thing about this is, and I've been on both sides of the fence.
Mm.
And with a Fox deal, though, this was a year in the making. So it's like a year with a gun to your head, not knowing when somebody was going to pull that trigger.
Yeah.
So, yes, the anticipation's there, but I don't care if it's a year, year and a half, 2 years. You're never prepared for that day when you get called into human resources.
No, it just never feels good even when you know it's coming.
Even if you know it's, it just never feels good. So all this conjecture about Disney's not communicating with these people, well, they never do. It doesn't matter if you're Disney. It doesn't matter if you're Lionsgate, Trimark.
Who's to say that they didn't know? Yeah. Mm. You know, it's just that we hear about it now.
A lot of these people did know. Some of them didn't, but a lot did.
Sure.
And also a lot of them will be given very handsome payoffs.
But we're talking about execs. Right now we got to talk about, like, again, the backbone, the smaller. They're not going to get those same packages.
No, it's going to be difficult. The industry has changed a lot. But talking of pulling the trigger, let's move on to the next thing. James Gunn. Trigger,
gun. I get it.
Thank you.
It's a good one.
It's a nice segue.
Very conveniently, about half an hour after this show ended last week, this always happens, Wendy. Every single time we finish the show, like about half an hour later, there's a big bit of news.
And this was the news.
It
was huge.
James Gunn being rehired for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Did you want to come in and kick the people out? Like, excuse us.
Get out of the studio! Coming back in!
We're extending the show.
Actually, we'd have only been interrupting LAOFCS weekly, so we could have done it.
I think
Scott did a solo. Scott did a solo show.
So Wendy, when you saw this news break last Friday, were you surprised? I mean, were you happy about it?
I am definitely happy about it because politics and Twitter and offensive tweets aside, I enjoyed James Gunn's version of Guardians of the Galaxy because I don't know if there's anyone else out there that could quite handle it the way he did to bring such an offset group of superheroes and put them on the screen and say, you're gonna love these guys and I was like, I will throw my money at you because I love them. And all the directors were like, we're not touching it. Like, Taika was like, no, I'm not. And they were gonna use his script and I was like, wow, are we really gonna do that? Mm. So, not completely unexpected, and pleasantly surprised at this news.
I think some people thought there was going to be more pushback because obviously when James was fired, it was because of the tweets that had resurfaced that he had already apologized for and discussed openly
before. Which, by the way, those tweets are not okay.
No, they're not.
They're very offensive.
He dealt with that, and that issue had been sort of resolved on that front. But yeah, and then, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, you know, it's controversy. But when he was hired, there was some backlash, but there wasn't as much.
Correct.
It's kind of interesting where it wasn't sustained outrage.
Well, also, the actors banded together and was like, they signed the thing and they said, you know, we're not going to do the third one until he comes back. Dave Bautista was very, very vocal about how he felt about this. So
I think that's understating it, David. Yeah. Dave was like, I'm not doing it. Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when Disney is faced with that decision, what do you do when the cast is saying, you know what, publicly we said this, we don't want to continue without James Gunn, what do you do? How do you make everybody happy and keep the same cast that everybody has already grown used to?
Yeah.
Well,
they
were under contract. They had to make whoever survives Endgame.
This is true.
I had to do it anyways.
This is true.
It was just Disney was put themselves in a corner. Mm. They backed themselves into a corner. To your point. And we've talked about it here plenty of times. It was a it was a lose-lose situation for whoever came in to take the director chair.
Yeah.
No matter how talented or gifted or personable they are, they were going to come in with a scorned cast who may not give their best.
That
would have
been
an crew.
Ugly set to have been.
Oh my God.
That would have been a heavy set.
So uncomfortable.
And what director? I mean, they could have thrown like truckloads of money or spaceship loads of money to he or she to take the job, but you know, quality of life also means something. And you know, as soon as he said, "Okay, I'll do Suicide Squad," I think like they're going, "Well, he's still hireable." I have a feeling that when they fired him, when they let him go,
Warner didn't
like,
flinch.
No. That's it. Come
we'll
on over.
Them.
But it was kind of like James obviously worked on Guardians of the Galaxy, massively successful in the original movie. People didn't anticipate was going to be quite so. I mean, I know people who worked on that movie, and they were like, even when they started filming, a lot of people there were going like, well, this is either going to turn out to be great or it's going to be horrible.
I loved it.
I thought it was amazing. Yeah. It's one of my favorite Marvel movies. But do you think that as soon as James got hired by Warner Brothers and they saw him and they were like, well, you've taken something that people didn't think was going to work and you made it work tremendously well. We've got something that's dog shit. So can you make it less dog shitty?
Well, to your point, he came out and said, I will make this less dog shitty. He goes, this isn't going to be a sequel. Yeah. I'm rebooting the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that had to make the Disney folks go and Marvel go,
Because, I mean, as entities, they're not actually, I mean, they're obviously different stories, different characters,
right.
But they're not a million miles apart because they're both groups of outsiders.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So then you've got someone who made something, your group of outsiders, very, very popular, now going and making the other group of outsiders very, very popular that you're going to have to go up against at the box office, and you're like, oh God, this is a horrible decision.
Yeah.
So I don't even blame, there's nothing to blame. Like Warner Brothers, if I was in Warner Brothers' shoe and I was like, oh, wait, he's available? Hey, let's talk and let's have you make one of our IPs great again. Because, like, Suicide Squad was a bit of a mess.
A bit.
I found certain parts very, we can get into that later. I found certain parts very entertaining. But overall, I was like, oh, this is not what I was hoping it to be. So with James Gunn doing that, I was like, yes. And I think when Disney saw that, they're like, maybe we should rethink, maybe what did we do? And it's exactly like you said, they backed themselves into a corner there, and they said, well, we make this movie with James Gunn where we have the cast do this, but not as enthusiastically as if they were to have the captain.
And again, something else that we've talked about on this show is that people are really quick to fire people over stuff without like a real due process. Like he was gone.
Yeah,
it was really quick. And it was very, very quick. And so many people came up to his defense on this. And again, Marvel needs to, especially with Endgame coming out, they've always had momentum on their side, but particularly with Guardians. And now just think of everybody, there's a huge weight lifted off of everybody's shoulders for cast and crew. So now we come back, they can even top Guardians 2, and everybody's going to be happy to work together again. Audiences, the movie fan is going to be extremely happy. It was a smart decision. I'm not overly surprised because I think Disney exhausted every option they had to get the next Guardian movie done. And Marvel works quick. It's like, you need to have this movie out because this is our timeline.
Yeah, there is a timeline.
And I think they just exhausted every option. And this is the one that makes the best and most sense.
Yes, agreed.
Is there an element that some people might feel that Disney's kind of got its tail between its legs on this one a little bit and almost feels like it's been, as it was told originally by the masses to get rid of James, now the masses were kind of like, you should hire him back. And they're like, okay. So many factors have made them sort of
I think it's business.
I honestly
think it's business. When you have, especially in the age of now, like social media, everything like blows up. You take like Kevin Hart, right? Like you're like all of a sudden he's not hosting the Oscars and things like that. And it is quite reactionary, like you said. Like there is no due process anymore. But I don't disagree with why Disney did it. I understand why they made that very quick decision.
And to be fair, I don't think it was the public reaction. I really think, to your point, to add to your point, it was the business reaction. It was, they sat down, they said, they had a list of people who could replace them. No, 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 no. Marvel's like, well, we're in trouble. No, 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 no. And I think, yes, there was all this public and Twitter, blah, blah, blah. I really don't think they paid attention to that. I think from a money, from a business studio standpoint, they had no other choice.
Skunk Ape in the chat saying, Disney is too afraid of oversensitive people. The thing he wrote was disgusting, but that was years ago, and Disney knew about them when they hired him. Yeah, a lot of people feel have an opinion, whichever way they fall on this, on James Gunn. It was really interesting to see that, because James Gunn as a director is... He's not, you know, the everyman wouldn't have known who James Gunn was. Right. They would have enjoyed the Guardians movies. Very few people can tell you who directed what movie, unless they're like one of the big ten or something.
Right. Right.
But now James Gunn's name, everybody knows James Gunn.
Right.
Everybody knows James Gunn, which I think is, you know, worked in a positive and a negative way.
Yeah, they didn't know it from...
They didn't know it before, but they certainly know now.
They didn't know it from Slither.
Yeah.
And but, I will say, when the tweets came out, he was right off the bat very apologetic. He didn't... There's no pushback. There's no, you know, like, another tweet saying, like, well, screw you, Disney, I'm going to go do this instead. Like, he was right off the bat. So he... I think he knew what he did, and he's trying to show, look, I was stupid then. Those tweets are dumb. I shouldn't have never done it. Didn't know this was going
to
happen.
Yeah, he played it right.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to continue to be hired.
Can you imagine if you guys, Warner Brothers? Like, if Disney said, hey, will you come back? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, what would happen then?
Well, the deal was done a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
I was talking to a friend about this who is, let's just say, in some way connected to the Gunns. And this deal was done like a little while ago, but nobody knew about it. And then they announced it on Friday or someone researched it and ran the story. But yeah, so this has been done for a little while. So it wasn't a knee jerk thing by Disney. This had been something that they've been talking for a little while. So, you know, a surprise to some, but, you know, it wasn't as if it happened overnight. Nacho Man Andy Cabbage saying Marvel sees that DC is going to be a viable competitor now. Yeah, I think they do. I mean, for a long time, it was very much Marvel's game. You know, and DC is as great and as strong as some of those movies and characters are. Something didn't quite click in the way that it did for Marvel.
Marvel figured out the formula.
You have to, you know, and again, this is before the show, we were talking about this conversation. DC is doing their best to right the ship.
Mm.
They let go of Geoff Johns, is no longer running the show. They have new creative people in. Hiring of James Gunn is a, you know, like, that was really big news. And at least it says DC's like saying, okay, we weren't great, but we can do better, and this is the action that we're going to take.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think you make an extremely valid point in saying, yes, now DC can maybe compete someday. They're not there yet. They'll get there, but not there yet. But Marvel needs to stay on top of their game.
Yes.
And as of yet, I don't think they've really come out. Like, Iron Man 2 to me is the worst of the bunch, but I don't go to it and say, God, that movie's god awful.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have like a sucktastic movie all the 21 Marvel movies that they've released.
That's true. Mark Ballum, we're gonna move on from this in a second,
sure.
But Mark Ballum saying, Gunn was an idiot, fact. Should have deleted them, he didn't, so he thought they were okay. Hypocritical. Now, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you delete them, you're accused of hiding something. Yeah. If they're up there, you said it. So it's like
lose-lose.
Yeah, it's lose-lose. I mean, really, it would have been hypocritical if he'd have... Obviously, in something that he tackled, like, I think there's a variety he spoke to about them previously, and then he deletes the tweets. If he does that, that's hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to then hide something that you've already said you did and referenced, and it's just like, it's a mess. He was going to be hoisted on this petard, whichever way you kind of cut this one,
right.
I think.
And he apologized. He graced, it's to your point, too. He did it the right way.
Yeah.
So... He's like, you know,
I've got more respect for him, even though I don't approve of what he tweeted.
No.
I have more respect for him for going like,
you're right, I was
said it, shouldn't have done it. Yeah.
It was a long time ago. I was an idiot.
Okay, so if you're just joining the show and you're wondering, who are these people? My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, at ShowbizSimon. And on Facebook, this is Simon Thompson. You can also see my work on Forbes or Reuters or E! Or numerous other places. Dimitri, who are you? Where can we find you?
You can find me right here at Popcorn Talks, Meet the Movie Press, and Popcorn Talk Network's Anatomy of a Movie, where we do deep dives and dissections. It's way above and beyond your regular review show. At DMovies1701 if you want to support me on the Twitters.
And Wendy, on the show for the first time today, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Wendy Lee Zaney. You can find me on YouTube at The Movie Couple Channel, and sometimes various Collider videos.
I was going to say, and thank you to Collider for lending you to us today. We do appreciate it. We know that, you know, in the market, it's like, rivals, but it's like we actually all get on. So that's
it, Simon. You know. You have, where are you from? Like, where can people find you? Because I love reading your stuff on Forbes. Like, your articles are like really cool and fun to read. So
you clearly haven't read any of my work.
Oh,
clearly,
stop!
It's awful stuff.
Stop!
Like, you can read my stuff on Forbes. I mean, there's to be honest with you, not to sort of, you know, go, oh my god, it's so amazing, but there are so many places that I work for these days that it's we could be here all day. But you can read my stuff on Forbes, IGN, Reuters is another major client of mine. I'm a producer at E. Sci-Fi Now magazine. Yeah, I mean, that's probably why I'm exhausted all the time. Well, I'm never going to complain about it. Never complain about being busy in this industry. Okay, I want to talk about something else as well, and we're going to get to us in a little while with a spoiler-free discussion of that. Let's talk about another big story this week, Master of the Universe reboot. Still going on. It's still happening. I think when this reboot started, I had hair. I mean, that is how long this movie has been gestating. Some rumors this week about casting for He-Man. Noah Centineo.
Yep.
I mean, I know who he is, but
you watch
both
movies that he's been in?
I have not watched them, but what else was I going to do with them? Watch them? I have not watched them, so what have you done with them, Simon? No, I haven't, but I am aware of who he is, and okay. I know he's very, very popular right now. I was just very surprised to see his name attached to this role.
Yeah, going from, like, Dolph Lundgren to Noah.
But, yeah, I mean, if I had my way, we'd bring back Dolph, but that's not going to happen.
He's Aquaman now.
He is, that's true. He's an Aquaman. But, yeah, I mean, I was very surprised to see his name attached to this. I mean, what were your thoughts? He would not, if I was drawing up a list of, like, 10 names... He wouldn't have been anywhere. He'd have been like out.
No offense to him.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
with no offense and with all due respect to him, he's doing particularly well. What?
Yeah.
I know. I guess it depends on what direction they want to take Masters of the Universe. When I initially thought He-Man, I was like, oh, maybe like a Zac Efron, like. Looks-wise,
yeah,
carbon
Zach
copy,
would have been great.
Right?
Yeah.
And he can act, and he can do whatever the director would need him to do. But Noah, right now, is popular. He's hot, and not in, like, I mean, that too, but, like, hot as in, like, the name.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
And he's charming.
Right.
He's a very charming person, and I think maybe because, like, he doesn't, like, think like He-Man at all, but neither does Jason Momoa, and we got him. For Aquaman, so maybe that's the direction they're going. It's a brand new type of branding.
But you know what, though? I kind of disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
If you swap out his hair for blonde hair,
mm-hmm.
it kind of works. I mean, if we had a picture of up...
Somebody
yeah,
some
because
fan
I was
art
trying to...
Noah.
Like, there's a picture of him smiling there.
Yeah.
Just swap... Dye that hair blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do that.
Kind of, and look at the grin. And if you compare it even to the animated He-Man, mm-hmm. I was like going, okay, I sort of buy it. Maybe a little bit of a stretch, but just make his hair blonde and he could be He-Man. He may not have the physique yet.
Oh, you can,
you can
personal trainer that.
Yeah, see what
I mean? CGI.
Yeah. Yeah.
A la Ryan Reynolds in
because I'm assuming that obviously Battle Cat is not going to be an actual green massive tiger. So I'm sure they can
see what I'm seeing there. Like if he was
so
had
cute.
Blonde hair, maybe.
Yeah, I mean it's a Goldman Vision in the. It's a very honest opinion from Goldman Vision. Holy fuck, Zac Efron would have rocked it.
Yeah,
I think Zac would have been great. I'll tell you who else I thought would have been really good is Alex Skarsgård.
Oh,
sure,
would have been so good.
Yeah.
He looks very He-Man-y. He-Man-y? Is that a thing?
Yeah, sure. We'll make it a thing.
Hermione?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's not a thing.
Hermione?
No, I think he would have been great. I'll tell you what I'd love. And Skeletor. We've got a picture of Noah on now. So, yeah, no, I do see the point, actually, about dyeing that hair blonde.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm also really interested to see which way they go with other lead characters in this. So, like Skeletor. I was saying to someone the other day that I think Guy Pearce would be great as Skeletor.
Yes.
Would be really good.
Yes.
Really cool. But so, I mean, it's interesting casting. And it's funny. I sometimes sort of, I trip myself up with this stuff. Sometimes I think the casting and things like this can be really off the wall.
Yeah.
And then go like, yeah, perfect. Can't imagine anyone. Mm-hmm. And then other times when you're like, oh, well, this person would fit the bill. You're like, it's kind of lazy casting. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. But Orko, I'd love to cast as well. Kevin Hart as Orko. You know, the little purple wizard thing?
Yeah.
Seriously, if he
That'd
did, if that was CGI and voiced him, or I don't know, Kevin, just put him in the little costume and hoist him up. He'd love it. He'd be fine.
He'll probably be in those mocap suits with the little dacks.
That'd be so, he'd love that. He'd love that. That'd be great fun.
That'd be fun, yeah.
I just think that'd be really good.
I actually am still kind of stuck on He-Man.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Like, why we're rebooting Why do we reboot anything, really? But I think it's now we're introducing the new generation of moviegoers, this Master of the Universe branch.
Yeah, I mean,
not many people know about it. I mean, now we have She-Ra on Netflix now, animated.
We do.
I think they're trying, and it seems like they're going younger with the demo. So maybe that's
younger,
why the Noah casting.
How could you, you can't go any younger than
He-Man. It's actually
sperms. He-Man.
Sperms and eggs.
Yeah, I mean,
sperms and eggs. Zygotes.
Did you ever watch He-Man, the cartoon? Okay, you can't go any younger on that
demo. We all grew up, and there's no new audiences. Like now we're all old, and we're like, He-Man, remember He-Man?
Yeah, I remember.
He-Man's still
way,
pretty badass.
That's where I still like to keep him.
But no, I mean, Thundercats. I think Thundercats as well is a movie that we've talked about for the longest time that
Please
has never been made.
Please remake Thundercats. That would make my 80s person,
that would
I
be,
guess.
We had,
so, cool, so happy.
Right? We had Thunderpants.
That was different. Zias B. Liu, He-Man, I was thinking more like Alexander Ludwig or Liam Hemsworth. Mm. That would be interesting.
Sure.
Mark saying, remember, Prince Adam was a child in the cartoon. He was a very old-looking child.
Because it was still Dolph that played Prince Adam.
Yeah,
he
played Prince Adam and He-Man. But, I mean, Popcorn Talk, a producer in the gallery saying Kellan Lutz. Now, Kellan Lutz was attached to this for the longest time.
Oh, I'd love to see him.
I think he would be good, but
well.
He has very little collateral.
I know.
In the industry right now, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but he's not the kind of guy to lead this franchise. I would be very surprised if he was still cast in that.
Right.
I'd be very, very surprised. Yeah. But I think it'll be really interesting. To be honest with you, I think it is a Goldman Vision, Idris Elba, a Skeletor. Let's just give everything to Idris Elba.
He can do everything. Yep. Look at the picture of Kellan Lutz.
I mean, I think
physically he looks great.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I think physically he'd be a great match, but it's just that, you know, box office collateral.
Man.
I just don't. I don't know, man. Other suggestions for He-Man, Nacho Man Andy Cabbage saying AJ from Riverdale. That would be great. Mark saying that they could Shazam him. So obviously if they've got a Prince Adam and they want to make him bigger, that could happen as well. That would work very, very well. Also, Popcorn Talk saying Taylor Kitsch, he deserves his redemption tour post-John
Carter.
Yes. Yeah, oh, John Carter, that was a film, was a mess. I know some people really love it, but...
It tried.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I found it very trying.
It's a tough property.
And Goldman Vision saying, Rocco's Modern Life movie, R-rated. Do you know what? I'd actually probably watch that, to be honest.
I'd watch
it. Okay, let's talk about something else. The trailers, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood this week, dropped the same day.
Zeno Ara said, I should be He-Man. Oh, yeah. He-Man.
Yeah, so as I was saying, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood trailer dropped this week, same day as Stranger Things 3. Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch the trailer? What did you think?
It's a fun trailer. It's a fun teaser. It was only the teaser,
yeah.
I didn't miss it. I kind of didn't expect it, but I like Tarantino films.
Mm.
It's very odd, a little off the wall, and I've liked most of his films. So when I saw it, I was like, this is very Tarantino.
Yeah, it really did feel like one of his movies. Mm-hmm. It really did.
It was fun. I think it's the first time in marketing where they've actually used as a marketing point the ninth film of a director.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You never see, oh, this is the third film of such and such a director. It's like, this is the ninth film of Quentin Tarantino. I'm like, who cares? Like, really? Okay.
Well, Tarantino fans are like, yeah, it's the ninth film.
The one thing I'm quite surprised about is the fact that they were making a big thing a while ago about the fact that this was going to be Tarantino's final movie. But that's not how they're marketing this. They are marketing it as his ninth movie. So I'm wondering if
there's something else
either coming off the back of this or that he's you know going to announce, because you know final is I mean there's always like the final world tour of a band and then they come back 2 years later, but yeah they were very very clear about the fact that this was going to be his final movie and now right. It's switched to being the ninth one. It does make me wonder if maybe this isn't the last we've seen of
marketing
Tarantino.
Marketing ploy for the 10th and, Tarantino film.
Absolutely.
And they also really there's barely a hint of Charles Manson, which this movie was supposed to sort of kind of be around.
Because of Sharon Tate and all that, yeah.
So I found that interesting, and you're right. It seemed like it was a fun movie as opposed to a typical Tarantino movie, and I'm wondering if I'm assuming there's some grittiness to it. And are they holding back to make it a nostalgic kind of...
I hope so.
I absolutely think that they are. There's no way that Tarantino movies are like fun and fun and feel good. There's going to be blood and there's going to be things, Tarantino things that happen. I think that's kind of why I liked it. It was so not what I expected when I clicked on it. And I was like, okay. And then it was like poppy music and like bright flashes and Bruce Lee. I was like, whoa, what's happening? Where's the, okay.
Well, actually talking about Bruce Lee, someone in the chat was just saying, Goldman Vision saying, had no idea Bruce Lee was in it. That's amazing. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then also Goldman Vision saying, give Tarantino Star Trek now, which is why I'm thinking... it's not his final movie. Maybe this is. I mean, again, complete conjecture. But by the fact they pulled that off, maybe that is something. And, you know, having spoken to people who are linked to the Star Trek universe, there are many
Tarantino
people
for Star Trek?
Who genuinely think that he...
Well, we talked about that a while ago because he said he'd be up... Well, he said he'd... There's a screenplay out there. And he said he would love to be a part of it in one way, shape, or form. Total conjecture, but
that'd
with the facts
fun.
That we've reported here, and they have their true facts.
Yeah,
never know.
Yeah. Zeno, I was saying, I like the trailer, and I will be looking forward, and I always will be looking forward to a QT movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm struggling to get excited because I have no idea what this movie is about exactly, which to me is actually is a bonus.
Yes. Same here.
Because when we say this on the show on a regular basis, sometimes you go into these movies and you know exactly what you're going to get. And it's a little bit like, oh, okay. So I do like this element of there's going to be stuff in there that I won't be expecting or won't see coming. I do kind of miss that in movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I agree with you 100%.
But I love the cast. I really, really do. Yeah. And I'm going to contradict myself on the point I just made in a minute when we talk about Us. But I want to talk about a couple of short, quick stories very quickly just to get your thoughts on. Terminator 6 title officially revealed this week. Terminator Dark Fate.
Fine. Go ahead.
Who asked for another Terminator?
But there is that.
But I am intrigued. I am intrigued because Linda Hamilton is said to come back for this. Arnold's coming back, and I was like, okay, great. Dark Fate sounds like an X-Men movie.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
To me,
it's not that I like it. I'm ambivalent towards it. Mm-hmm. The reason it's generic.
Yeah.
My reasons for liking it is since Terminator. The movies, the story, the thread has always been about fate. Can you change the fate? Can you control fate?
And
it's been a theme in pretty much each of the movies, whether you like some or didn't like or don't like any of them. So I get the title, but I'm kind of ambivalent to it. Mm-hmm. I want to see how it looks on a poster.
Yeah. Didn't Linda or Sarah Connor carve, what does she carve onto the table? Something fate. No fate?
You can't run, it's either you can't run away from your fate or you can't.
Oh, it's a whole thing, so I guess you can't fit that into a movie title.
Something, that is something too long. To that.
Can I have two tickets for Terminator? You can't run away from your fate because blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, fuck, I've missed the trailers. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I'm not totally enamored. It sounds a little bit like fan fiction for me. I'm not a massive fan. But you know what? If the film's fine, I can live with the title.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted 3 will have an excellent adventure in summer 2020.
No fate.
Yeah,
no fate.
There you
Terminator,
go.
No fate.
Terminator,
no fate.
Terminator, yeah. Yeah, so Bill and Ted 3, an excellent adventure, coming in summer 2020. The oft-delayed, often-maligned, people not believing it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It is happening. They did a great video this week, which they posted online, a very short tease, at the Hollywood Bowl here in LA, which I thought was really nice, but they said they weren't going to play there, but I'm like, please have the premiere of the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
and then yeah. Perform
like
as Wild Stallions.
Yeah.
Yes, with like Kiss
so
from the second movie and all this stuff and music from
marketing.
The first ones. Do it. Or just like the trailer launch or something would be quite good doing that.
Oh,
I mean,
great.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, do it. Are you guys looking forward to this? I'm still on the fence about this.
On the fence as well.
Yeah.
Just because it's been a minute. I like Bill and Ted, but it's been so long, and then like my last recollection of Bill and Ted was like when they had the show at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Before it got taken away. Like so. But is it cool to see the cast return? They're gonna do some crazy time traveling because now they're older. Yeah, I'm down for it.
And Keanu seems to be having a whale of a time at the moment.
Seriously,
he's so happy with everything.
Yeah. Well, they both seem to be having a whale of a time, and that's why I'm in. I mean, for them to do this, and they seem to have so much fun making this announcement, and I thought that it was brilliant how it was made, and they didn't look like they had guns to their head to make this movie. I'm in because it's that kind of camaraderie that you want to see in a movie like a Bill and Ted movie. And now it looks like through the years that they've not only matured, but they really are great friends.
No, absolutely.
I think it's to me, it was fun and refreshing.
I 100% agree.
I love that.
Okay, big movie this weekend. Yeah, excellent. okay, so Us is out this week. That's the only major release that's hitting theaters. Did previews last night. Pretty impressive. 7.4 million.
Wow.
Which is very good. That's not too bad at all. If you compare that to Get Out, previews for that were 1.8. Now, obviously, at that time, people didn't know Jordan Peele was the amazing filmmaker that he is now. They didn't see that coming. That film kind of took a lot of people by surprise. They've got to be very happy with that. I mean, Universal must be loving that, which is great. And a lot of very strong reviews, but not all of them are strong reviews, which we are going to talk about now. So it's looking at an opening of about 50 million plus.
Yeah,
which I think is about right. I think it can be somewhere between, even if it's on the upside, maybe more towards the 60. But we'll see what happens. Some people are predicting 100 million this weekend, and I'm like, I think that's
for horror.
Yeah,
I love to see that happen. I love it when people go and put their vote with their money, so you know, like directors and stories like these can get made. But I don't know. But it seems a little high.
No,
so
100's on the high.
I think 100's a bit high.
Yeah. Although 7, what are they saying? I mean, to do 7 on a preview night. Yeah, it could.
That's good.
50 is definitely well within range.
I think
they're
going to go
easily.
Over 50.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be up.
They don't have any
50.
Competition.
No, that's true. There is nothing.
Marvel.
I mean, Captain Marvel's expected to have quite a strong holdover.
Mm.
It did hold over last week, but I think really this is going to be the one that everybody's heading to see. So let's talk about it. Let's get your thoughts on this. We all saw it on Tuesday night. It had a great buzz coming out of the festival, South by Southwest, very recently. A lot of people talking about it, and it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. let's go with you first of all, Wendy. Your thoughts on this?
Wow, I very highly anticipated, if not one of the most anticipated movies of 2019 for me, because I loved Get Out so much, and I just had no idea Jordan Peele had that like in his mind and be able to tell stories this way. And the trailer really got me. I remember watching it on Christmas and like watching it later on that night. Went outside in the woods to like walk my dogs and freaking myself out, and I kept on turning around. I was like, am I gonna see these like, copies of myself? And I had to like ran back inside. I was like, you're done, right? Okay, let's go back inside. I really enjoyed the movie, specifically the first and second act. The third act lost me, and the ending lost me a little bit, but overall I have a positive feeling on the movie. I think mostly it's because it's I don't think it's as good as Get Out.
No,
but
I would agree.
Get Out is also a very clear-cut story. Here's the beginning, here's what's happening, here's the end, here is the message.
Mm.
I think Us is very thought-provoking. I think it's going to drive a lot of conversation. I think there's going to be people that absolutely love it, calling it a masterpiece. There's going to be some people be like, nah, it's all right. You know, and I think I am ready for this discussion. Lupita Nyong'o is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, performance
in this movie.
Is amazing.
Like, I don't know how. It's been a long time since I've seen an actress get into a role like this to play two different parts, very opposites, and God, she's so good. And it's the sound design is...
Peak Lupita.
Yes. she can do anything at this
point. But like you, I mean, there are a lot of great performances in this, and there's a really great story here. The story is amazing.
I don't want to tell too much about it,
but what you get in the trailer is only a fraction of what you get in the movie.
There's so much more.
And for me, the movie started to lose its way. I liked it. I did enjoy it, but I was disappointed. I really thought it was going to be more intense.
Yeah.
For me, once they left the primary location, that for me kind of when everything kicks off, that kind of... That's where it started to go a little bit off the rails for me.
I would agree with that. That part was over a bit quick.
Yeah, and the problem there is the fact that I didn't actually have a long time to really form a relationship with the characters. And even though the performances were great and I think they were very well written, I didn't care enough. And then because of some other flaws in the movie, it's very difficult when you're in an intense movie to, if you don't feel any kind of alignment with the characters or connection with the characters, to really go on that and feel that intensity. And I think that first bit was just over a bit too soon. But what we get is something that a lot of people will not be expecting. There's a lot, I mean, the plus and the minus is there is a lot in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of ideas.
To everything.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. And I came out, I didn't love it. I thought I was going to, but I do want to see it again because especially when I saw Get Out, I prefer Get Out. I'll be honest with you. When I watched Get Out the first time and then I rewatched Get Out, there's so much that because you watched it the first time that you now know, it adds meaning to things that you might have thought were inconsequential or you missed in the first bit. I think Jordan's done an amazing thing with here. There's a lot of pop culture stuff in there without it being too 80s heavy. I mean, there's a lot of articles about the references and connections he's made with The Lost Boys, which are really quite genius. The kids in this I thought were great as well. Winston Duke, I mean, shit, I could watch that guy shop in Ralph's.
Seriously.
He's a guy from a serious, like, acting Shakespeare acting background. He's a phenomenal actor.
Yes. Yeah,
he is so cool. And I hope he gets offered roles in Hollywood that are diverse to match his talents rather than his physique and the color of his skin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I think he really is a talented actor above all else. I mean, as for me, it just wasn't... It dials up the creep, but I didn't find it scary.
Right.
You know, the ending, like you guys, I kind of guessed a lot of what was coming.
Same.
So the twist was kind of lost, but it's a, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a good twist.
Yeah.
But that third act, it just didn't work for me. But I might feel differently after watching it a second time. Dimitri.
Yeah, I definitely second those or third those emotions. The third act to me doesn't stay on its toes. And it's sort of, there is, I came out of that movie, I saw you had given your opinion, you go, well, what did you think? I'm like, I'm still trying to figure out what the F I just saw.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to figure that out.
You genuinely
out.
Look confused. I was befuddled.
Could have been having one.
Yeah.
Or it could have been the burrito I had. In any case,
that wasn't a burrito.
But I will say this: I like the movie. It's not as good as Get Out, and I agree 100% because Get Out that's the story that it is.
Yeah.
Driving home after seeing Us, and throughout the remainder of the week about thinking about Us, you know, I liked. First off, Jordan Peele, this is a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
And I really think that, you know, he's a fine craftsman.
Craftsman's a great way to describe him.
He's really, even after his second film, and I even think that he himself, maybe, conjecture again, you know, 20 years down, he may relook at Us and see, oh, I could have maybe done this or whatever. There could have been some fine-tuning done. We already talked about, you know, I agree 100% with performances. Again, it sort of unravels. Unravels isn't the right word, but it doesn't pull everything together.
Yeah.
There's particularly one thing that is shown, and I go, okay, so what now? And I don't want to leave a movie going, okay, so what now? It was very unclear. There were certain things that were unclear, but other things that were done so well. I hope towards the end of the year that Lupita or Miss Nyong'o is remembered for this. I mean, you know, she's going to be in Star Wars, which will be coming out in December, and I hope that they're still talking about us.
And she was kind of criminally overlooked casting-wise in Star Wars, because obviously we don't see her, and the character hasn't been given a huge amount to do.
No, and I'm just hoping that they remember, like, from what I understand, that character is going to have a little more to do in this next one, but who knows? I just want her to be remembered for this role because it was amazing. I want to talk about, because we were just talking about trailers, I think the audience should know that it's a little bit of a bait and switch. Like, the trailer. Not a ton. It's not like 100% lie. It's about an 80% lie. It's not exactly what the trailer purports this movie to be. It's more than that. And if you're thinking that you're going to see another, like, Get Out, simple, like, linear story, that this is what it says, it's not that either.
And with that, with talking about the trailer, we've only got a couple of minutes left on the show, but with that, I think because the, I mean, I'll be honest with you, the trailer's terrifying.
I was really
expecting to kind of crap my pants. And sometimes, I mean, not literally, but sometimes when I remember, like, The Conjuring, when I saw The Conjuring, fucking terrifying. Yeah. Insidious, terrifying. Mm-hmm. I think with this, because the trailer is so good and so effective, when you see that in the movie, it has slightly depleted the fuck element of this, because you know that the really powerful part of the movie to set this whole thing up and get everybody on edge, you kind of seen a little bit of winds have been slightly taken out of those sails.
Yeah.
But I mean, that said, I have to say, Jordan Peele has taken a lot of stuff and is insanely talented and insanely accomplished. And other people would have fucked this up royally.
Oh my God, yes.
He you can tell that this has been something he has been so meticulous with. And I think he might have been a little bit over meticulous, that I think it's for some people, they might miss some of the stuff, or it might not land because it is so smart.
I agree.
But also, kudos to the soundtrack.
Sure.
So good. The sound design and the soundtrack?
Just incredible.
Excellent.
Just incredible.
Yeah. Adds it to the movie. I mean, the movie, I remember clutching my popcorn bucket and I was like shoving popcorn in my mouth so I wouldn't make horrifying sounds as I was watching this movie. But I, like you said, if it landed on anyone, but if it wasn't Jordan Peele's story, it would not be as good. There's very few film directors, horror film directors, that can convey what is inside his head as clearly as Jordan Peele. So it's not as a clear cut movie as Get Out. This is, I think, I'm going to go back and watch it this weekend. I mean, I'm already falling on the positive side. I think I'm going to end up loving it upon the second viewing, because that's what I've heard a lot of people say. A lot of people saw it at South by, saw it again. They're like, yeah,
I was the same. Even with Captain Marvel was a movie where I really enjoyed it the first time and watched it second. I was like, actually, there's more in there that I really like.
I mean, I may like it more. I think, I don't know. I mean, I liked the movie. I liked it. I remember, you know, I think I liked it a little more than you. Mm. I just, again, it's not going to change that third act for me.
Right.
And that's where it had, for me anyways, its biggest issues. But I also think, look, the movie is extremely creepy.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it scary.
Yeah.
And although scares and creeps, we talked about this at breakfast, scares and creeps can go hand in hand. They are two different things. Something can be creepy and not necessarily scary. This movie is creepy. It delivers the freaks and the creeps very well.
And there's
fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like insecurity and awkwardness.
Like a sense of dread. The entire time I was watching, I was like, I can't relax.
You're off balance a little at certain times.
Yeah.
But that's good.
But great.
Although, if you are expecting the scariest movie of the year, which
I don't think this is going to be it.
I agree.
But it's like last year when everybody was talking about Hereditary being like, oh my God, the scariest movie ever. I didn't
really?
Find that.
Oh my God.
That to me, in many other areas, gave me the creeps more than this did. But this was a movie that I absolutely take my hat.
And if you wanted to sort of kind of do apples to apples, we talked about this. I mean, last year coming out of South by Southwest was A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Mm. Quiet Place to me was a far scarier movie.
Yeah.
And again, very well put together. This movie, I don't think, is as good as Get Out. I think it's worth viewing. And again, to all of our points here, I think it's going to, this is the best part about movies. It's really going to lend to fantastic discussion.
And the really important part is these are our opinions. If someone said to me, so I won't go and see it because you're like,
No.
Go and see it. Make up your own opinion. And really make sure it is your opinion, not what you think you should say because other people think it's great.
But in fairness to us, we didn't pan it. We like, you know.
No, absolutely.
We had different degrees.
100%, yeah. So if you're thinking about going, do go and check it out. I think you'd enjoy it. Okay, that is it for this week. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, which we haven't learned to bend. Okay, thank you so much. My name is Simon Thompson. Dimitri Pandos, where can we find you?
Right here at Meet the Movie Press, and follow me on the Twitters at DMovies1701.
Wendy, where can we find you?
On Instagram and Twitter at Wendy Lee Zaney, on YouTube, The Movie Couple Channel, and Collider.
Thank you so much for joining us this week, Wendy. We really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
We will have you back again. If you would like to come back,
please do.
This is like the Oscars. I'd like to thank my mother. I'd like to thank my agent. I'd like to thank everybody involved in the production today. You're beautiful. I couldn't do it without you. Have a great weekend, everybody.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.